Hey everyone, Mr. Devil here, Kenny Danico, three-time Stanley Cup champion of the New Jersey Devils. And you're listening to the Uncle Puckers New Jersey Devils podcast with Chris, Dan, Bobby, and Tony, the Uncle Puckers. Let's go, Devils!
And we're going. So has everybody come down off the Ranger whooping high yet, or are we all still up there?
No, I'm staying there.
And,
still there. I got to stay there. And I got to just dive into that real quick because I'm very disappointed with Mr. Rupp.
Why?
With the Rupper. He's one guy that agreed with Valiquette. Not necessarily that anyone should go after Jack for the move, but he agreed kind of back in his day or whatever that that was, you know, a little bit of a showman type of thing. Right on NHL Network.
He
discussed saying, listen, I'm going to say this, Jack's one of my favorite players, but I do agree with Valiquette in that. And then he just kind of went on about the type of shot that he chose to take. And I'm just here to tell you, and our 10 listeners that Mike Rupp is wrong.
Well, I'll tell you, I was listening to one of the shows on XM, and Craig Button was on it, and Kulyas, it was a power play, and Kulyas asked him about, and he just, like, as Kulyas was going with the question, like, Craig Button cut him off and was like, Valiquette is dead wrong. It doesn't matter what you say. He's an idiot for saying it. Yep. Hey, look, I make stupid takes all the time. Like, Valiquette's a smart dude. Like, I've made millions of these stupid mistakes. This is his first, but he needs to own the fact that he was dead freaking wrong, and that's all I'm going to talk about it. He, you know, lost credibility when he opened up his mouth like that. So, I mean, and PK stood up for Jack. He came out and, you know, basically said the same thing, that Valiquette's an idiot. Like, I guess the dude is just so – the Rangers are in such turmoil right now that I just think it's bleeding into this guy because he, you know – but PK wrote something like a tweet like, well – the 43 NHL games that Valiquette's played in, like basically, come on, dude.
Jesus fucking roasted him. Roasted him. The one thing that I saw that's pretty reasonable is like Valiquette does a show for the New York Ranger audience. It just so happened that this particular broadcast was on NHL Network, so it cast a little bit of a wider net, including a lot of Devils fans, obviously. So he's doing it in the kind of bubble that he thinks is a Rangers fan, and this getting away from him is probably just because of the NHL Network stuff. Also, Jim Hughes was on a podcast today that said my kids are some of the most respectful people in hockey history.
Yes.
I mean, Jim Giovanni or whatever his name is, the guy that was with Valiquette, was looking at him like he was insane. Like, you know,
he looked very uncomfortable. Like, what? Yeah, he's like, I don't know if I agree with that.
You sure about
Tony,
that?
Did he ever come out and say like, oh, I shouldn't have said that, or like, oh,
not
I
that I know of,
nothing like that?
No,
no,
he is a smug prick, and he always will be. He has such like my daddy owns.
Oh my god, he does here. Right? That's exactly it.
One of my
he's such a little frat boy, fucking looking asshole. I'm with you.
Yeah, he like literally looks like a Wisconsin senator who's like getting giddy over taking people's healthcare away.
He's Dr. Oz.
I stole that joke from someone on the internet. Sorry. So I have a quick little Valiquette story if you guys are interested.
Yeah, let's do that.
So one of my buddies is his neighbor, and my buddy's kid plays goalie, and he's 8 years old, and is really excited to find out that Steve Valiquette, he's a Rangers fan, he lives in New York City, Ranger fan. Excited to find out Steve Valiquette actually like lives near them. So saw him in the hallway. It's an apartment building, Upper East Side. And he's like, hey, I'm a goalie, Mr. Valiquette. And Steve looks at him and looks at my buddy. My buddy's only 5'10". Looks at him and he's like, yeah, you should probably stop because, you know, you're not going to be tall enough.
Total douche.
He said that to an 8-year-old. Like, what a fucking asshole.
Wow.
Anyway, that's
just like as dick as it gets, you know?
Uh-huh. Well, not only, just because a dad is 5'10", does not mean the child is not going to be bigger.
Yeah, no. I wish so.
Or small. Or Chris, you know, we all have exceptions to that rule. I'm just saying it's not a forecast. You don't know.
Bobby, right. Tony, you guys know my father. He's almost 6 foot three. Yes. He's a big man. I'm 5 foot eight. You know, yes, my mother was 5 feet tall. Yeah. And you know, I'm right in the middle. But yeah, and my son is about 4 inches taller than me, and he's 16. So there's, and my wife is shorter than me, and he's got those genes. So there's no telling.
That's exactly. My point exactly. There's no telling. Is there a good chance?
6 foot and I'm 5'7". I mean, geez.
But it's just like why? Like,
5'7".
What would possess you to say that to an 8-year-old?
It's just nothing. Especially like as a public figure.
Just like cool. Hey, I was like, you know, would love to see you one of my camps.
Don't give up on
that
dream.
Like,
blah blah blah. You know, you pump the kid's tires. Yeah. You don't deflate him in front of his dad. Now that. Yeah.
Hey, Juicy Saros is
5'11". This kid should now just work on being the best freaking goalie ever and play more than 43 games in the NHL and shove it up Valaket's ass.
Just get to that 44th game.
Get to that 44th game.
And then retire.
Hey, that just slash his tires. I don't know. One of the two.
What an asshole. So, Bobby, what's your thought, Bobby? Yeah. You wanted to start with something?
No, I'm confused about something, and I need help from the panel here. I can't really tell which side of the bagel is better, the top half or the bottom. No, I can't figure it out. I literally just had a bagel and I was going from bottom side to top side toasted. And I felt like there was something I liked more about one of them, but I couldn't really,
now
I'm just not sure.
Tell me,
it's really important.
It depends on the bagel. I mean, cause the plain bagel, it doesn't matter, but I would think an everything bagel or anything that's seated like that, you'd want the top more because that's where all the action's at.
Okay. So this is in reference to a plain bagel. And I was thinking that perhaps toasted the bottom half might be better because, you know, it kind of crinkles up there. The dough is a little more heavy.
Wait,
you to eat the bottom.
What, Tony?
Yeah.
Oh, he eats plain bagels. How lame.
With butter. You know, it's not like I'm dry docking it.
Jesus. That's like the whitest thing you could do.
I was about to say.
Oh, I'll go a step further, dude. They're like lenders.
Got the black socks like, on with the garter.
I didn't go to a bagel shop. This is just, they're in the fridge.
It's like a Will Ferrell.
Okay, so if that's your thing, what about if it's not toasted? And let's stay with plain here. I just need your opinions. Like, what do you guys think?
Can I back up for a second? So what kind of toaster do you have that only one side of the toaster, bagel, is being toasted?
Yes.
Like,
no. Like, do you have a regular toaster? It's being toasted fully, like it should.
Like a pop-in toaster or like a toaster oven?
Dropping
so
down.
So both sides are getting toasted, but one side you're putting against, like, the grills?
No. My question is, what tastes better, the bottom half of a bagel slice in half or the top half?
Going back to the plain bagel, Bobby, I think that's one way to keep your toaster clean, though. You know how there's always like everything bagel has a bunch of shit left behind?
Tons of shit.
I guess the
it's
plain
for Bobby's
bagel
OCD.
Kinda,
he doesn't like to leave a mess.
Better cleanup.
That's how you flavorize the toaster, though.
Full disclosure, here's why this is important. I don't know how you guys eat your food, but I'm going to tell you how I eat mine. All right. The last bite is very important. Okay, the last bite is planned. If you're having like the perfect steak, you kind of find that
crazy.
Perfect like medium rare piece, a little extra salt, just finish that last bite. So I'm just thinking going forward, you get that bagel, you get that nice little spot that's like little extra toasted. All right. That's the one. That's the side you're going to flood with a little more butter.
Yeah.
Right. Then the rest. Yeah, I'm a health conscious. I don't use a ton of butter. But over there, I'll be like, yeah, that's going to be a great last bite. So as I'm going through this, I realize I can't tell what I like better, the top half or the
bottom
half.
I have a possible solution to this. And that would be put the bagel together, cut it in half, and then eat it as, you know, a sandwich. So you're getting the top and the bottom together. Okay. I'm just saying.
I'm willing to try it.
And then that way you're getting best of both worlds. And you don't have to.
It's
and
more
you don't
of a butter
have to
sandwich.
Enjoy,
but I'll
well,
give
that's
it a
essentially
try.
What you're doing. But you don't have to enjoy your bagel with the thought in the back of your head going, which side is better? Which half is better? On a plain bagel, personally, I prefer the bottom half only because the top half is a little bit, it's doughier, and I like it a little crispier, more like a bagel chip if it's toasted nice with some cream cheese on it. Not a butter person. I only put butter on cinnamon raisin or French toast bagels. And French toast bagels, when you're an extremely stoned and you toast them and you dip it in syrup with butter, oh my God, it's so freaking good. But in everything bagel or something like that, the top's better because, like I said, that's where the party is.
Okay.
A bunch
I wasn't even thinking that because we don't afford everything bagels around here.
No, Now, Bobby, do you eat Cheerios, plain Cheerios also? Because I would think a guy who eats a plain bagel has a glass
like
of milk
an
and some plain Cheerios.
You're nuts, dude. Honey Nut Cheerios. No way, dude. I'm not going straight
from
Cheerios.
Kellogg's regular cornflakes?
No way. I'll, no.
Yeah, I my favorite ice cream is vanilla, so I guess I'm right there, too.
I like vanilla.
Well, I should say it's my
ice cream. This is the problem. We don't have hockey for a few days. So. Right, I don't know what everyone tuned in to hear, but.
Well, my whole issue is like the bagels that I'm used to, like are, there's no top and a bottom. It's a universally coated bagel and both sides are the same.
Where do you get your bagels that both sides are the same?
Ah, that's a crazy bagel.
I mean, one at a nice bagel place in New York City when I lived there. Now I don't get bagels down here because I just don't want to be disappointed.
I just find it weird the way they cook. There has to be a bottom and a top. It's just a natural order.
There's always
a
bottom and there's always a top.
She only comes when
Tony, what do you prefer?
On top.
An everything bagel, man. I can't even contemplate eating a plain bagel.
So what's
bagel.
Your favorite bagel, Tony?
I'm sorry to throw you guys off.
So, Bobby, are you cream cheese or no cream cheese?
Oh, I can't stand cream cheese, dude.
I'm not a butter guy. It's got to be cream
just butter.
Cheese.
It's like exactly like Will Ferrell in Daddy's Home, where he's like, and I love my Ford Flex.
You guys ever see, I know Bobby has, Amazon Women on the Moon? Remember that movie?
Oh, the best.
And they had this sketch of the Don No Soul Simmons, like all the black people with no soul. And there's the one guy and he's dressed like a pimp and he's like, comfort and safety are the two things I look for in an automobile. That's why I bought a Volvo station wagon. That's just it. It's a Volvo station wagon. Yep. That's you, Bobby.
Hey, only in bagels. Obviously, I experiment further with Cheerios, so you know I'm not a lost cause.
So this morning, I sent you guys a picture of ESPN 8. I guess, Bobby, you had mentioned this earlier that I guess one. Right.
About a year ago, I would assume. About a year ago this time.
So I guess
that blew my mind that it was actually a thing.
And you saw some crazy sport. Yes. It was like soccer and football together or soccer and basketball.
It was like soccer, but four nets in like a circle. And you could score on any of the four or any of the three because you're defending one. And I think it was like an elimination type thing. So you could gang up with other teams and all score on the one team first.
So there's four.
Whatever. It was just quite crazy.
I thought together.
I was being punked.
Okay.
That's what it looked like. Yes. Like they're all for themselves, but last team standing,
so,
I guess.
It's like.
So the red team and the blue team can be like, let's go all score on the red team for right now, and then we'll be enemies at the end, like a Hunger Games type thing or something.
So today's early morning, about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, the sport they were playing, I can't even call it a sport. It was stone skipping on a lake. And I shit you not. These people are getting up there, these like fat dudes in like shorts and ripped t-shirts, and they're skipping stones and they're counting how many skips. And this one,
they're into it, right?
And this one guy gets up there and he kind of like squats down in this little stance, right? And he's getting, and the announcer's like, yeah, they call him the Spider-Man. And I'm cracking up. Like, nobody calls him the Spider-Man. Nobody calls this guy the Spider-Man. He's the stone-skipping Spider-Man. No. And then another guy comes up and they go, yeah, this is, but it was all in Pennsylvania. And he lives in that. He gets his stones. He gets his stones from a local creek. In his neighborhood.
Oh,
where
special
the fuck
stones.
Else are you going to get your stones? Are you going to go to
the Keystone
stone skipping store?
I was going to ask you this.
Of course, you go to a lake or
something
the ground. He gets his stones by looking down and finding one. And they're just, and the one guy threw this really good one, and the announcer's like, he should try and get that one back. Yeah, I want to see the fucker dive in the lake and try and find his stone. It was.
That'd be fucking hilarious if they had like special stones and they pulled them out of like a case.
Yeah,
it's like a velvet case
skip,
that's just sitting there.
Never
like
skip
perfect...
stones to the guy that shows up at the lake with his own rocks. You don't do it, buddy. You know you're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
that's bullshit. They should have to pick the stones up at the shore that they found.
I think
found,
you should
like
have
the
other people pick the stones for you. Your opponents give you your stones.
You know how douchey I felt?
Inflatable women.
Yeah, for sure. Think about how douchey I felt like carrying my own pool stick to play pool, and you're going to come in with a bag of rocks. Like, my stick's a bag of rocks.
But Bobby, you were the only guy I remember out of all of us that had the brush in his back pocket in high school always.
I had to keep his feathered hair looking good.
Hair, Tony.
You had to keep that feathered mullet perfect.
What are you going to do, man?
Blue bandana and
the hockey guy. The hair gods have spoken since then, obviously.
Scott Baio, wannabe motherfucker. Like,
you were a douche.
The Devils in
you don't get no hair.
Oh, my God. And then after the stone skipping, I just showed you guys a video. They had these sign spinning championships. So these idiots that.
I've seen some good sign spinners outside.
Yeah,
the
I mean,
the
pawn shops are like, you know, they're the best sign spinners around. I love the fact that anybody can be on ESPN. And it,
just tell me, was it in
I
Vegas?
It, was.
Sign
it looked
spinning?
Like it was. It looked like it looked, they were on the strip. Okay.
I felt like, I mean, I feel like
the that's where it belongs.
It should
that's
be
home turf.
It should be like in like a Tampa Bay strip mall in Florida.
Yeah,
that is very true, Tim.
I think they need to elevate the rock skipping competition from lake to ocean and really throw in some variables in there with some waves coming in, some seagulls
so
jumping at your shit.
Go ahead, Tim. I had one more thing about this rock.
No,
skipping.
No.
Tim, have you been to a strip bar in Tampa?
Yes.
We actually like there's like one-legged strippers. I mean, it's pretty crazy. I guess crazy around here.
Tampa has some very
what's
good
the name?
It's entertainment.
And we like to welcome
the space
stand up to the stage.
Coming to the stage, tripod.
She only has one. Are you counting her on?
I know.
They have a spaceship out here, man. There's a spaceship strip bar that you can go up in the it's actually like it's the Odyssey, I believe it's called, over in Tampa. It's been around forever. I mean, you know, it's pretty popular.
Well, off the here. Strip club thing, to enter the stone skipping competition, if you're a professional, it's $10 to get into the tournament. And if you're an amateur, it's $1.
County fair.
So they have this like rock kind of little monument, like a 3 foot tall rock thing that's in the middle of the lake. And if you hit it, you get a cash prize. And this one guy, I shit you not, his name was Enzo Ferrari. That was his name. And he skipped the rock and he hit the little monument thing. And the announcers were like, and he won a cash prize. And the guy's going nuts. He won $11.
Chris, do they have like uniforms?
No,
like,
they were wearing cargo
outfit?
Shorts and ripped tank tops. They had no uniforms.
Okay, that's
so it's so really kind of like... you kind of buried the lead though. So like, this is what you choose to do at 5:30.
Well, I was up and I was flipping through the channels, and I had watched NHL on the fly about 6 times already. So I went over flipping through ESPN. When I saw ESPN 8, I stopped. It was, you know, and I was completely just enthralled for about an hour.
I'm instantly pissed off that a dude who can skip a rock and hit something in the middle of the lake makes more than I make on this podcast in 3 months. This is up,
$11, Bobby.
Yeah, but only that guy.
Well, we make money. It all goes back into production. God, everybody can
so
tell that.
Funny.
Yeah. All right. By the way, Chris has a GoFundMe for
that. If anybody wants to donate to my new computer fund, I'm down.
If anybody wants to donate to us, if you like the podcast,
so
we need
how about
it.
We talk a little hockey? No? You guys want to know? Yes. Nobody wants to talk hockey? All right, so
sure.
Tim, you had some stuff you wanted to bring up, some stats you wanted to talk about.
No, yeah, the stat guy. So there's floating around today this amazing stat is actually from a podcast, another podcast. So it's just about
what podcast?
Yeah, it's about Jack.
Shout out for Christ's sakes.
I don't give a shit. It's the PDO.
Okay,
it's the PDO cast. It's like one. It's a good podcast. But they're talking
they
about.
They don't give
how,
a shit because they're big and they don't know we exist. I think that's what Timmy's saying over here. Yeah.
Watch Damien's going to send us a. Damien's going to send us a picture of him listening to that in his car next, and we're going. Oh, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, they make a.
That was beautiful.
They don't need to go to rock skipping competitions and on the weekends. I'll put it that way.
Damn it.
So it's just talking about Jack's defensive game and how that's gotten so much better this year. So in the last 10 games, since basically the games in Florida, Jack has been on the ice for 20 goals for and zero against. And in the last last 14 games, he's been on the ice for 28 for and only 2 against. So that 10 game span where he hasn't been on the ice for any goals against. There are 515 players, not just forwards, players that have played over 100 minutes, and he is the only player a goal hasn't been scored on when he's been on the ice. It's pretty amazing.
That's insane.
Yeah, and out of all the Devil forwards, he would be in like the bottom list that you would think would be that guy, right? I mean,
Yeah, I mean, we've been getting kind of worked on the penalty kill a little bit, and he's not really on that. So I think that may be a little bit of it, but it's still pretty remarkable. And I think a lot of it is, you know, it's a couple of things. Obviously, it's largely Keefe's system. You know, we're no longer dealing with the Lindy Ruff flood system where they leave all these gaping holes in the defensive zone open, and just his buy-in to being you know, more defensive and then just to take a better defensive posture. And you actually look at what Keefe did with Matthews and with Marner, making them both, turning them both into sulky candidates. You can actually see the spike in their defensive metrics when Keefe took over in the years after that. So it's just a pretty interesting trend, you know, and there isn't a stat going around about the Devils that I don't like.
No, I'm with you. Cover me for 2 seconds. I have to go help my daughter do something really quick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of defensive game. So last year, the Devils were 27th in goals against, 21st in expected goals against, and 23rd against in the inner slot shots. So that's really kind of like where they're getting just absolutely murdered.
Right.
This year, they're 6th, 4th, and 8th. So just all around, just the defensive game of the Devils has improved dramatically.
Yeah, everything's pointing in the right direction for the Devils. It's making it really exciting because we get these advanced stats, and that's not even too advanced. Like the Jack, that's not really too advanced, actually. That's just a flat-out, easy to understand stat. But when we do get into what this team's doing, it's just incredible. And some of the defensive pairings, and I think we're just getting better. This is a really exciting time.
Yeah, Siegenthal and Kovacevic, you know, are like in the top 10, like defensemen in the league. Like it's unbelievable. Dylan and Dougie has been extraordinary the past couple of games. Luke and Pesci are like now right under Siegenthal and Kovacevic over the last 10 games. Just everything is just trending up. Like I am just pants off all day long.
And I believe we had two of our guys skating this morning. Bastion and Hollow are back. Oh, no, Tatar and Hollow are back. Right?
Yep.
Skate. What are you going to say, Tone?
And I don't even think we've seen the best of this team. You know, I really think it's going to – we're only – it's getting there, but I don't think it's even gotten to where it's going to – what they're going to – you know.
I agree completely.
Yeah, and they made some line changes in their practice today. You know, like you said, Bastion's been back skating. He's on LTIR, so I think he has to wait a couple more games before he can come back. But they flip-flopped Tatar and Cotter, put Cotter back down on the fourth line, which I think that was that fourth line that really kind of drove a lot of that sort of, you know, mean kind of play. And I think you put Cotter and this new kid, Le Gray.
I like that kid.
I did too, man. The kid's got a fucking neck like a linebacker. She had like an old school neck roll on that kid.
Well, you guys know tomorrow we are playing the Seattle Kraken, who are right now beating up on the New York Islanders 4-0 with about 10 minutes left in the game in the third. I heard a crazy stat. The Lightning, 8-1 over San Jose. I did see a stat about the Islanders. Now, this is crazy. The Islanders' goal differential is plus 11 in periods 1 and 2. It's minus 22 in period 3. How are you going to do anything when you are that bad of a goal differential in the third period? They keep on losing these leads.
That helps explain all the loser points they're getting too, because they're probably going in with some leads.
They can't hold them.
And they're blowing them in a third. They're getting the tie and then losing.
And this is carried over from last year.
Same exact thing. And those participation points is what got them into the playoffs last year. Yeah. You guys want to dive a little bit into the Kraken game, and we'll talk a little bit about that. All right, well, sure. I got some stats here. So the Kraken are 12-13-1. They have 25 points. Their winning percentage is a .481. They're 22nd in the league with their winning percentage. Goals for, 74, 20th in the league. You got the Devils, who are goals for, 99, 2nd in the league. Goals against, 78. That's good for 17th in the league. For the Kraken, we are 14th in the league with 76. Their goal differential is a minus 4. That's 17. Ours is a plus 23. That's good for third.
Wow.
And this is where they kind of fall off a cliff. I mean, they're middle of the road in most of those categories. Their special teams is terrible. Power play, 14.6%, 30th. Our power play is first, 34.5%. Their penalty kill is 77.4. That's 22nd in the league. Ours is 80.7, 14th. Ours is could be a lot better, too. They average 28.35 shots a game. That's good for 21st. And we average 30.25. That's 5th. Their team save percentage is 891. That's 20th in the league. Ours is 901. That's 8th in the league. Now, Joey DeCord is playing tonight. They have the, like I said, the 4-0 lead. He's 11-6-1. He's got a good save percentage at 912 and a 2.53 goals against. So when you see their,
he's a good goalie.
Yeah, that's respectable. Yeah,
he is a good goalie. He's a when good you goalie. See their team save percentage at 891, you're like, okay, Joey DeCord, though, you know, he's holding up his end of the bargain. But then there's Philip Grubauer, who, unless they play DeCord back to back, we're going to get Grubauer tomorrow. He's 1-7-0. He has an 862 save percentage and a 3.62 goals against average. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, shutout incoming, right?
Screams victory for the Devils, doesn't it? So we're up for a night.
I mean, in all intents and purposes, yes, we should whoop this team. I mean, Jared McCann leads them with 23 points. He has 10 goals and 13 assists. He's a plus 7. So 23 points is their leader. Good Brandon year. Montour, 7 goals, 10 assists, 17 points. He's a plus 7. Riker Evans, 3 goals, 13 assists, 16 points, minus 1. Matty Beniers only has 4 goals and 9 assists for 13 points. Oliver Bjorkstrand is 6 goals, 9 assists for 15 points. Those are their leading scores. So from Jared McCann to Brandon Montour, you got 23 points and 17 points. Where the Devils' leading scorers, you got Bratt with 12 and 23. He's a plus 5, 35 points. You got Jack, 11 and 22 for 33 points. Nico has 15, 12, 27 points. So we have three guys that are above their top score. And then you get into Nason, who has 22 points, Dougie, 21 points, Timo, 19 points. So offensively, you know, I don't know if they can hang with us. I really don't. They are a fast team. And if Joey DeCord was playing, I think I would be very, not nervous, but just, you know, I would think that that game can go either way. So what do you guys think? Do you think that they'll play DeCord twice, or do you think it'll be Grubauer?
I think that they looked at the schedule, said, what's the more winnable game? Let's go win that one. So they played him against the Islanders, and we'll probably get the backup.
It's interesting logic. I wouldn't have thought like that, but, you know.
Yeah.
Listen, I know most people in sports don't think like that, like with the negative first. I'm kind of half joking here, but I'm also not. I really think they were like, you know, circling on the calendar. Fuck this game. We're not going to win that one. Let's just go see what we can do with our number
one. They just beat Carolina, too.
They beat Carolina. They let's see here. They were 1-3 going in tonight's game against the Islanders. So they'll be 2-3 in their last 5. They beat the Canes 4-2 their last game out, and that was in Raleigh. Then they had a home and they lost to the Ducks 5-2, and then they had a home and home against San Jose, and they lost them both. So that's their last handful of games.
Well, how's the workload against the goalie tonight? He's pitching a shutout. Is it an easy one, maybe? Is, you know, because they could play him again if he's not working too hard.
I mean, if you're playing the Islanders, you have to kind of assume that, you know, the Islanders can't score. So right now it's 4-1, so there goes the shutout. But right now you got Joey DeCord has one goal on 21 shots. So he's got a 952 save percentage going into tonight.
Did he start against Carolina, too, or was that?
That's actually a good question. Let me find out on that one. Hang on 1 second.
Yeah, speaking of our points, guys, Bratz, he's 6th in the league in scoring.
Yeah.
God, I love that.
And let's see.
Let me find this.
There's a tie for 6th. Yep.
So.
Yeah, while Chris is looking that up, I'm just going to go out on record and say, no, there's no way we're losing this game. It's not going to be a classic trap game.
Joey DeCord. Sorry.
We've been off. They're playing. We're ready to roll.
Joey DeCord played against the Canes. So, you know, I mean, this is kind of a big game for the Devils. for a couple of reasons. You know, you came off the huge game on Monday against the Rangers. You're well rested, but that's an emotional game, a big game. I want to see them treat that Ranger game like it was just another game. We went in there, we did what we do. You know, you remember back when we beat the Rangers in the playoffs, going into that Carolina series, there was that little bit of a big time hangover. It was such an emotional series, and the Devils were so jacked to go and win that thing that, you know, they had nothing left when it got to the Carolina. I know this is only one game, but you got your time off. You got five games now at home. They have not been good at the Rock. They're 6-5-2 this season at the Rock. This is the time to kind of lay that foundation that we are a really tough game, a home team to play. You come into our building, it's going to be a tough place to win. We haven't shown that. And that's why I think this is a big game. You got a fun schedule coming up with some teams we don't see a lot. I'm looking forward to it, but they've got to start winning at home.
Yeah, and it's a big game, and it's bookended favorably because you're leading off with Seattle, which, again, should be a win, you know, on paper, blah, 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 all that stuff. You're staying at home for the full week, and then you're ending with Chicago. So, I mean, if you look at this from an opportunity standpoint, you should really be thinking about what points are absolutely bankable. And then, of course, you're going to have three tougher tests in the middle of that. So this could be a great week. Like you're saying, start off strong, play up to your competition like they tend to do, and then finish strong. This could be the run they go on, Toe.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, with the Devils this year, I think we've seen where they don't go on lulls now. So, I mean, they lost to Tampa, right? They came back and won again. They beat Florida twice. Obviously, you would think after the Tampa game, maybe they're going to be a little deflated. This is just not showing that this year. And I think the only thing with this game coming up with the Kraken is, as we know, the games you should win are always the ones the Devils seem to drop the ball on sometimes. So that could be expected, but I think you have to beat this team, but I don't. It's still a long season ahead, and I don't know if it's that important because every team is tough. And I think that, you know, you want to beat them because you should beat them. But as we again with the Devils, that's the teams like San Jose this year. Or
San Jose is good.
That you kind of in your head, you're like guaranteed wins, you know, and then you get there and it's like,
you're 100% right. But like San Jose is playing tough hockey, man. They're not giving anybody freebies. Well, maybe Tampa tonight scored 8 on them, but
I know that's the only game that's not tied tonight too. I was looking at it.
Oh, really?
Everything else is tied.
That was a VTech special.
Was it VTech in net tonight?
Or was it
Askarov?
as VTech, he got yanked. I think it was like 5 goals on 12 shots.
That's our VTech.
Yeah, I mean, like the odds.
Florida
just beat
Philly too. Just now, end of the third, they scored 6-5. They just scored.
Philly was on a nice little run too. I think they were like 7-3 in
their last 10. I'm going to give Philly some props. I like the way they play. I think we talked about this a little bit, but I really like the way they play. They just play good, fundamental, hard hockey. They block a ton of shots. They win board battles. Like, they don't have all the skill, but they have all the fundamentals down. And they're a hard team to play against. You know, and they played the Rangers last week. I mean, they got on top of them in a matter of the first 5 minutes. They were up 2-0, and then they just kind of were able to lock it down. I think that could be a team that could make a push for that wild card spot.
Yeah, dude. And it's by design, right? Because, you know, the coaching staff knows that same thing. Like, no disrespect. We don't have the skill. We don't have, you know, the flash to play a certain way. We're going to play this way. Give us our best chance to win for this season. Be the hard team to play against.
And the guys are buying
teams.
Konechny's, you know, he's a stud. Hell of a player. He's a guy that just kills us every time he plays us. And Michkov is unbelievable too. But, you know, going back to Seattle, like, I'm looking at their lines, and, like, honestly, I think three of these fucking guys are made up. I've never heard of these guys in my goddamn life. Ty Kartai, Mitchell Stevens, and Ryan Winterden. It's like, throw some fleece vests on those guys, and they could be like bankers at Goldman Sachs.
Are probably Firebird call-ups and starting this year. I mean, yeah.
Probably, yeah. I think this Riker Evans, which is an A-plus name, I think he's on the shelf. But, like, two of these guys, Will Borgen, like, you're telling me
we're
that's
gonna
a real
find
person?
Out tomorrow.
Like, he's on their penalty kill. Yeah, I know. They're probably all going to score against us, making like an asshole. But they have our old buddy Adam Larson's on that team. You know, he's a good solid defenseman. They have three.
I love Brandon
Montour. You know,
I mean,
Yeah, Brandon Montour, yeah. Vince Dunn, and yep. Adam Larson. And you, Jamie Oleksiak's on that team, too. He's a bit of an anchor. But Yandy Gord, keep your eye on him. He may be a fourth-line center guy that could be available if Seattle keeps falling off.
Gord's a good player, too. I watched him play a lot live. I actually went living over in Tampa, and he is a hell of a player.
So, yeah. You know, I do want to discuss a little bit about some possible trades and some names that were popping up. And I know that you guys know the main guy I'm thinking of. But first, we got to do a little housekeeping and do some commercials. So I'm going to start this off. The 24-25 NHL season still has that new car smell, and the action's heating up at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. And if you're new to DraftKings, listen up. New customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if your bet wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets if your bet wins when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available. For problem gambling, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bet must win to receive reward, and bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, visit dkng.co/ice. That's DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Tell us about Game Time, Bobby.
I will tell you about Game Time because, as we all know, there is nothing quite like the sensory experience of actually being in a hockey game. You know, the chill of the arena, the sound of the skating, the ping of the crossbar. That was all pre-scripted for me. But you get the point. It is the only place that you can hear that stuff is at a hockey game. If you're looking for tickets to the game, or any concert or show for that matter, check out the Game Time app. Game Time has a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite team play easier than ever. Game Time Picks filters out all the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats, so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. It's a very user-friendly site. I do like the way that they present the tickets, and I am a big fan of the super deals. I've mentioned it a few times. You look for these last-minute pop-up deals, you can actually save yourself a lot of money. Devils fans, this is the app that you want to use to get your tickets. Here's a list of some of the other features. They have an all-in pricing toggle that you simply turn on. You'll know exactly what you're going to pay at the end of your transaction, so there's no surprises. Your seat view will show you your panoramic view of the entire rink. They have the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you up to 110% of the difference. And they are covered by the best ticket coverage policy in the industry. Your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy, including event cancellation protection, 24-hour return guarantee, and job loss assurance. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code THPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code THPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
Game Time.
So the name that keeps popping up is Kyle Palmieri. What do you guys think of Kyle Palmieri coming in and helping this team? And Tone, we'll start with you because I know you like Palms. But what do you think about him joining this team again?
It's hard. Like you said, I like him. Of course, I'd like to see him be on the team and see like the team win with Kyle Palmieri. Do we need him? I'm not 100% sure. But if we're going to bring in another guy like that, this, you know, just to, you know, before the trade deadline, I mean, of course, I'd rather be him. It's kind of like Henrique, you know, all the Henrique talk from the last couple of years. Like, you like the guy, you love him as a Devil, just the kind of person he was, you know. But, you know, do you need Palmieri? I don't know.
Tim, what do you think?
I'm actually looking up something right now. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's another one of these guys. You know, I feel like the Devils, we always talk about like retreads and like who can we bring back and who, you know, who would fit, you know, from like our stable of guys that have got away from us. You know, And it's fun to talk about. You know, like I brought up Taylor Hall a couple times. I think he'd be interesting. You know, I wonder if his, you know, Coke guy would come with him too. But
his name's been bought up even.
Yeah. But, you know, Palms is, you know, and I've said this a couple times, like Jack has really functioned well with a right-handed sniper. And Palmieri's putting up, you know, he's got 20 points in 26 games, 10 goals, 10 assists. You know, he'd be a good compliment.
You would put
on
him
that
up there with Jack
if he slots in. I think so, yeah, because then that allows Palat to slot back down to the third line, which is where he probably should be these days. And he's not as much of an anchor, and he's a finisher. The only problem is Palmieri's, you know, his skating speed is below the 50th percentile. You know, speed bursts are kind of nothing. He's got a cannon for a shot still. His shooting percentage is fine. So he's slow. But, you know, he's kind of a wily veteran. The other thing, though, I'm looking at his picture on the NHL Edge site right now, and he doesn't have a beard on, and I don't like that. That would be one of the reasons to bring it back.
Let me cut you off right now. That is exactly the one reason I would want to see him on the Devils, so we can put that beard back, because the dude looks weird without a beard. Let's face it, right? It's just not cool.
It's just off-putting.
More of a Ryan Graves kind of guy.
Bobby, what do you think about Palmieri coming back?
No, seriously, just the beard. I can't look at him without the beard. So I bring him back for that reason only. No, I don't know. It doesn't really do much for me. I mean, Tim made a good argument why it would work, I think. But he is awfully slow. You got to keep up with those two. I just think there might be better options out there to explore. I was a fan of his while he was here, of course. And at that time period, you're talking about a guy that was essentially a leader on the team and an offensive catalyst on bad teams. So it's hard not to like him. But I don't know that I want him on this
team. I don't.
The other thing we're talking about.
Chris, I apologize. I don't like retreads. I don't like bringing guys back that have been here before.
Worked with Claude Lemieux.
Claude Lemieux is a different player. We're not going to put put it this way. Like, I was bummed when Claude Lemieux left. I wasn't bummed when Kyle Palmieri got traded to the Islanders. I just didn't care. It's not that I didn't like him. You guys liked him a lot more than I did when he played for this team. I'm not a giant fan of his game. I don't know what it is. I, believe it or not, would prefer. If you're looking for somebody to play with Jack and Brat, I would prefer Taylor Hall.
I think that's the hole. You know, I mean, I get the Palat does the little things, and I've been trying with that shit, but like every play that was hit his stick, like the past couple of games, just goes to fucking die, and the puck goes the other way. The problem, though, is we currently have $400,000 in cap space, and at the deadline, that translates to a person who would have the salary of about $1.2 million. We're not getting Taylor Hall without, we're probably not even getting Kyle Palmieri that, unless a big chunk of money goes the other way. And I think this team is going in such a right direction, like Tony said. Like, I think the best is yet to come. We don't need anything right now. I just don't think we do. Like Jack and Brad are cooking. Yeah, like I just kind of like I don't like. And if we're shipping someone out, that upsets the apple cart. It's like, what's kind of that do in the locker room? You know, we're shipping out a popular, fun guy. You know, you got to kind of let this play out a little bit. And I don't think Fitz is going to do anything like anytime soon. But he did say he wasn't. Sorry, Tony. I apologize.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
He did say that he's always kind of looking, and the kind of guys that he likes are the sort of versatile wing center type, size, versatility. And the one guy that pops up on a team that was struggling until they fired their coach was Trent Frederick.
Not familiar.
Well, it's funny, Tim, when you say about what we don't need. When Chris first brought up like the trade tonight, when we start talking about this, in my head I was thinking, wow, it's kind of cool that I can't think of anything we really need right now. Like, we may have now, of course, injury changes everything. But right now, when Chris said that, I'm starting thinking to myself, like, man, you know, right? I feel confident in this team right now where they're at. Yeah, you definitely would love to bring a big piece, like not even a big piece, but a complimentary piece before. But you don't want to do what Boston did, where they, you know, started loading when they didn't need, which probably backfired on them in the playoffs, that playoff run. But when Chris did bring it up, I thought to myself, like, yeah, I'm like, I can't really think of something that, but it's always goaltending, right? Or toughness or this or that for once.
Yeah, you're 100% right, Tone. And that's why, like, to me, if you're going to make a move, I don't think it's a top six guy. Like, I go back to Jake Evans, who's a dude that can play in that bottom six, that fourth line guy over in Montreal. He, like you just said, he likes Fitz likes a versatile guy. He's a center. He's a right wing. You know, he's only has 4 goals and 8 assists and 12 points. I haven't watched much of him, but when I do, like, he's a fiery little motherfucker. He flies around the ice. He hits, he does he's like Curtis Lazar type of player. So, like, that's where I would like to see the fourth line pumped up. Like, I would like to see Jake Evans, Curtis Lazar, Nate Bastian when they're all healthy, but if that's not going to, and I like the kids, and maybe the kids that they brought up, that played against the Rangers, maybe they're the answer. And I think we got to give them a good sample size to really check and see. But for me, I would probably stay away from any Taylor Hall, Kyle Palmieri, moving Palat right now. I mean, he played good against the Rangers. Let's see if this can maybe develop. Maybe he needs 15 games, 12 games to really get his, his feeling comfortable working with those guys. Like, for me, I'm more of, if you're going to fix something, tweak that bottom six.
And, you know, just to add to that a little further, we have essentially an entire line on injured reserve that's got to come back. And these three guys, this is a completely different team from when these three guys went down. All the facets of the team that are gelling right now, they weren't all gelling as well as they are now. We weren't the number one power play, you know, the penalty kill, our 5-on-5 play, and the goaltending, tickling, everything, Jack heating up more than he was in the beginning of the year when those guys were producing more. So we still need to get them back and really fully assess where we are again once we have the full complement with everybody feeling good right now and buying into the system. That's now that they've had more time. So I would stand pat for, like you said, at best, this is a tweak move right before the playoffs. I don't think we need anybody in here now. Let the team figure out who they are.
And we don't need a big name. And I don't think we'll get one at the deadline. You can't have like an all-star at every position. It just, you know, that's not in the salary cap world. It just doesn't work that way.
Well, works with the Uncle Puckers.
It only works with the Uncle Puckers, you know.
No, you're right, though. I mean, you're right. And Tony, I agree with you 1,000% that this team, and I mean, I love this team. This is one of my favorite Devil teams that we have ever had assembled. It really is. I like everything about it. I just feel like these guys gel in so well with each other, the whole team. I mean, except for Hala talking about, you know, taking Brad into the boards during the Four Nations face-off, which I thought was great. And congratulations to Eric Hala for making that team. That's awesome. But, like, I just right now I stand pat, and you let the kids play in that fourth line, and when Lazar and Bastian come back, hopefully it's before the trade deadline in case you do have to make a move. But right now I would just, you know, go full bore with what you got and hope that no injuries arise that force you to make a move. I like everything that we have right now.
Yeah. Like, and Dowling's been a good fourth line center. He's, you know, he's a little iffy this first game, but he's been great his past couple of games, very noticeable. And like we talked about the Laguerre kid already, like, let's give him a couple more games and see what he's like. But if those two with Cotter now on the fourth line, like, they're gonna that's kind of a scary fourth line in terms of if you're a defenseman going back into the corner for a puck, I'd be a little worried about those guys coming after.
So before we wrap it up, any thoughts on the Four Nations, guys? I mean, it's all everybody's talking about. For me, I want to watch the games, and that's basically it.
No injuries, please.
Nobody get hurt, please. And I'm going to root for Team USA, but like, they really galaxy brain some of this shit. Like, with some of the, like, Brock Nelson and fucking Kreider, and it's just like, what are you doing? Like, it's a 4-game tournament. Like, you're not putting together an NHL team. Put your best players on the ice, fucking step on the gas, score more goals than the other team, and win the tournament. Like, you have the best goalie in the world. Like,
I disagree with that. I do think that you have to build some defensive structure into this thing. And that's why I think a guy like, what's his name? Scheifele was left off the team because he doesn't play good defense. And I think that it is going to come down to, I think it's going to be a physical series. I think it's going to, you know, not what, 5 games, whatever it is. But I think everybody plays everybody once, and then whatever, whoever has the best record plays for the championship. Is that how it works? I don't know. I mean, we'll see when the games are played, but so give me your final. Who is it going to be?
Finland's going to beat Canada 4-2.
Really? Finland is winning. You're insane. Yep. Bobby, what do you got?
let's just go USA all the way. I'm under a rock on this one right now. I just basically saw a few names being thrown out there making teams. So USA beats Canada. Okay. That's always popular.
Yay, that's America. Hell yeah.
USA beats, I'm going to say Finland.
What all the fuck is a kilometer?
I'm gonna be the guy.
I tell you, I've learned what it is. The last
I'm gonna be the guy off. I'm calling. It'll be Brat versus Hughes in the final. It's gonna be Sweden versus the United States, and I think Sweden's gonna take this thing. That's where I'm at.
On a Brat dangle right around Jack
and
for
I
the game winning goal.
I would love to see Jack and Brat go against each other.
Then they never talk in again. Their line falls apart. We go on a 13 game losing streak. Chris fucks it all up That's for right. everybody.
Stop. No, Jack Hughes scores on Markstrom to win in a shootout. Markstrom falls apart.
That would be awesome.
There you go.
I mean, not Markstrom falling apart, but just Jack scoring on him to win it. That would be great. You know, I'm glad that, you know, there's four devils in there. It's going to be fun to watch. You know, I can't wait until the Olympics where people start noticing Luke yes. and all three Hughes brothers are on the U.S. team. That's going to be awesome.
That left pretty cool. That left side of the U.S. team defense is going to be tough to crack for Luke.
He'll do it.
Quinn Wierenski's
a freaking stud this year. Jesus.
I know. He's really emerged. And Slavin, you know, Slavin? Like you got to keep him because he's so good defensively.
I'll tell you though.
He's just slaving away.
What I
want to
see from the Devils is a fucking win streak. Like, start putting this shit together.
Nice.
It's three out of four. Yeah. That's what we do. And that's great. And that'll be a great season and possibly win you the Metro and get you into the playoffs. Maybe with home ice, that'd be awesome. But I want to see, like you said, Tone, a 7-8 gamer. Start putting some distance between you and maybe Washington, but definitely that bottom the bottom half of the Metro, you know, start putting your distance between the Rangers mm-hmm. and the Penguins yep. and the Blue Jackets and the Flyers.
Stay away yep. from that mess. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Just stay above the fray. Win at home. The next five games, I want to see them at least go four and one. Like they need to put this home bullshit behind them and win some games at home. Like
agreed.
They can't do
predictions
this.
For tomorrow night, boys.
Devils 5-1.
Ooh, saucy. Ooh. I like it.
Do you like that? I'm going with the identical score as Tony, but I'm going to go with two Timo Meier goals.
You said 5-1? Okay.
Yeah.
5-1. What do you got?
Yeah, I got 5. I was thinking 5-1, too. And I was going to give
– clean sweep.
I was going to go Nason 2 goals.
Ooh. Wouldn't that be something?
Guaranteed lately, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, right. I bet Jack Hughes 2+ goals against the Rangers and
nice.
Won a nice little chunk
That's right.
of money.
Nice.
Yeah.
Can you put it in the Uncle Pucker pot?
No, absolutely not. No. We're upgrading our room at the Great Wolf Lodge.
Oh.
So, Nason power play goals or are these even strength? Okay.
Both power
I like
play goals.
It. I love him on that power play.
He's already at 14, right? He tied his record. Is that right? Eight.
I think he's 13.
Nason has 13. Okay. 13.
So that would put him.
He's got
that would make him break
nine.
It.
And
yeah. That would be great. Then he ties it and breaks it in the same night.
I'd also love to see Holla get one. I'd love to see Cotter get one. Like I wanted. Like Cotter, he is really cooled off. You know, Holla's been kind of invisible. That third line's been a little shitty recently. I wouldn't mind seeing Mercer pot another one. Get him going. Mm-hmm. He was catching some flack from the fan base. So.
All right, I'm gonna go 4-0. Markstrom gets the shutout, and El Capitan gets the game winner, the first goal. That's where I'm going.
So, very possible.
Anything else you guys want to talk about before we wrap this thing up?
Just got a little bit of –
Packers took the lead, buddy, by the way, on the line.
What's the score? Packers took the lead?
21-17. Yep, 21-17.
Wow, I need right that. I'm not rooting for the Packers. I'm kind of rooting against – the Lions, but it's really hard for me to even watch this game because it's I need the Packers to win though. I need the Lions to lose, and then and the Lions have Buffalo next week. So if Minnesota does what I think they're going to do on Sunday, which is just completely dismantle Atlanta, and they get to 11-2, and then maybe Buffalo goes and beats up on Detroit, and maybe Detroit loses tonight, you got yourself possibly home field if you can keep it up.
You know, it's pissing me off. I was at the gym today, and I'm starting to see.
Liar.
I've noticed this lately. A lot of Chiefs shit. A lot of hey, everybody. I'm there all the time, baby. But like, everybody has Chiefs gear on now. Everybody's got
down
Chiefs
in Florida. Gear on. Really?
Oh God!
Man, all of a sudden, like everywhere I'm going, people got Chiefs hats, Chiefs jackets. You know.
It's trendy now.
It's starting to happen. You know, like I remember when the Patriots started winning all the time. All of a sudden, all your buddies at school, everyone's got Patriot hats on. Now, Chris will tell me and Chris still had, he had his Vikings hat on. I still had my Raider hat on.
I don't
on.
Think
the
Chiefs are winning it this year. I don't think the Chiefs are making
hair.
It. I had
a
hair too.
A lot of it, dude. Had
Chiefs,
a brush
Chiefs
and everything.
Chiefs are not making it to the Super Bowl this year, Tone. I think it's it's going to be Buffalo in the AFC. I really do. And the NFC.
And the Lions are damn good, though, right? I mean, I watched a lot of their games. I watched a lot of Viking games because of Chris, actually.
I watched Viking games before, but
started watching more of Vikings because of Chris and stuff like that. But those Lions are damn good, man.
Buffalo has the best acronym for their team, isn't it? It's just a great. Boy, I love losing Super Bowls.
I get it. Now, tell me that the best Super Bowl this year would not be the Buffalo Bills, who have been to four and never won one, versus the Minnesota Vikings, who have been to four and never won one. One
that would
of
be
these
epic.
Teams.
I'd sign up for that right now.
One of these teams will be the losingest team in Super Bowl history. And, yeah.
Oh, man. Don't put that on yourself right
in
now.
One. I'll take it. I don't care. I just want to get there. I want to go in.
Something.
Go ahead.
See, that's the thing is, Chris is right, because it's excitement. Like that whole week before, like I remember when the Raiders played the Bucks in the Super Bowl, which wound up being awful. But like that whole week, usually people get to enjoy it. But as a Raider fan, we had our center went missing.
Yeah, I remember
that.
I
don't know if you guys remember that. Yeah,
that.
Like it was just right away. Like there's people like not showing up, and like it was just a disaster right away. But for most people, it is. I always used to get jealous of being like at the Patriots. I was like, man, if you're a Patriot fan, like almost every year you get to watch this like 2 week celebration before it happens, and then your quarterback's going to somehow pull it off at the end. You know, so it would be cool, Chris, for you you've never got to experience that. So I have, like I said, which was a circus.
I would
but
love
for you,
to go
it'd be
through
awesome.
Detroit and Philadelphia to get there. That's what I would love to do.
The NFC is a gauntlet this year. You know, the AFC
Philadelphia's
is
turned
the Eagles
up so much.
Dude, yeah,
they're fucking good, man.
Yeah, I've Saquon on my fantasy football team, and I'm kicking the shit out of everybody.
Can you imagine the text we're going to get from Chris if the Vikings win the Super Bowl? He'd be like, come on, we got the Uncle Pucker Viking show coming up. Everybody sign up. You available tonight? We got to go.
Hey, I actually root for the Vikings because of Chris. I never have
that.
Before.
I never hated him. He talked me into it a couple days ago, too.
Yeah, now I'm like, let him win because, you know, he's never, like I said, you know, I never really was a total Viking fan. I remember when Ed, you know, back in the day, but now I totally pull for him. You know, unless they're playing Raiders.
Oh, God,
playing Raiders
such a
like
bad game.
Team threw for like 7
yards
last
bad.
Year.
Nobody wanted to win that one.
You couldn't even be happy your team
I'll tell
won.
You, though, that Raider Buccaneers Super Bowl is one of the, if not, not one of the only Super Bowl I actually slept through. I was playing pond hockey all freaking day. The whole river,
the
river up here was frozen solid. The whole town was like out there playing hockey. We were out there all day. And me and my girlfriend, who's now my wife, went back to my apartment, got some food, all set to watch the game. About 5 minutes after kickoff, I was out. I woke up and I just saw that it was, well, I guess I didn't miss much. Tampa just rolled them.
Dude, it was really depressing seeing, like, I was a big John Gruden fan before he left, you know, he was traded to the Bucs. I mean, it was like, you just couldn't, like, everything I tell, a story of being a Raider fan, it's like, you can't top the next story, but our coach is traded, and then he beats us in the Super Bowl the same year. Callahan, who's coaching us, doesn't change any of the plays. I think it was Jerry Rice was mic'd up during the game. He took off his mic halfway through and threw it on the ground, like, just, you know, and at this time, it was like, I'm living in Tampa at this time. And there's fire, the whole town's partying around the house. It was just like, and I mean, it was an embarrassment. And, you know, I don't know. I'll never forget
that's rough,
that,
man.
You know,
that's rough.
You're just going to see tripod over at the strip club.
Make sure that's the only way to feel better. Go to the spaceship.
Can I put a dollar in your stump?
Everybody rides.
Hey, throw me your leg. Stuff it with dollars.
What do you got, Bobby? Take us home, Bobby.
Oh. Yeah, let's clear the air here a little bit. A little feel good.
Be the mopper.
So every year we get my kid, an advent calendar, right? It's been chocolates, it's been Legos, whatever. This year, it's NHL Teeny Mates, right? Anybody know what these Teeny Mates are?
Little midgets.
Literally, they're like half an inch big of, you know, NHL players. Of course, we're on day like five now, so it's dotted with mostly superstarish. Mm-hmm. Players, and I don't even recall the first four, to be honest with you. But this morning, he comes running down because he opened door number five. He's like, Dad, you gotta see who I got. We got Brady Tkachuk. I'm like, there you go, buddy. You get it. I don't know why Fitzgerald doesn't get it. Let's just go out there and do this thing.
Kay's home painting a devil jersey on Brady Tkachuk's little half-inch little jersey there.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
And you're doing the little figurines here, like, you know, they're painted.
The excitement in his face was so incredible, you know. So I was like, "Yep, that's how we roll.
That's a way to close it off."
I love the indoctrination.
Your kid hockey cards, Bobby.
What's that?
Hockey cards are like $20 a pack now.
Yeah, we do it. Yep, especially for holidays and stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I see that some of those things out like the stores here, and it's like $12 for a pack of like 12 cards. I'm like, oh,
it's a small price to pay when, you know, you want to buy hockey gloves, and, you know, for his age, hockey gloves are like $70, but because he wants a red pair, they're $170 because they're red. Yeah. Just because they're red, right, Tim? No, fuck it, they're red. All the hockey gloves are black, so you pay $70. You want red? $170. You know, it's great.
Yeah, that's the markup. It's for paint.
Yeah,
I got white gloves one year for Christmas.
Feet of pajamas.
My God. Good thing I was pretty good.
Before we wrap it up, what was the worst Christmas present you ever got?
Feet of pajamas at 12 from my dad. But yeah.
12?
No lie. That's where that came up. Like, I remember my dad's, his wife at the time, her mother-in-law, got his Christmas presents, and I was like a certain age, and like they had, I was like, what the hell?
Mine, I was about 14 years old, and my mom got me a bowling ball for Christmas. And I had bowled like once or twice. Like we just started kind of like going occasionally, and my mom got me a bowling ball and bowling shoes. And I remember like I wanted a surfboard or something, and I was like, oh, I was like Lane Meyer from Better Off Dead when his mom got him all the TV dinners. You know, it has raisins in it, Lane. You like raisins. That's how I felt.
You like raisins.
That was the worst like Christmas raisin, present. Man. Love you, Mom. God rest her soul. But she got me a bowling ball for Christmas.
She was a good woman.
For some, I was like, well, I guess I better start bowling. That works.
Yeah.
I guess it's better than getting a skipping stones. How about you, Bobby? What was...
I don't know, but you got to get like a nice velvet case.
What was your worst Christmas present,
Bobby? Was it a Mets?
Yeah, was it a Mets jersey?
No. It was Mets fandom. No, I got a calligraphy set because I had bad penmanship, and I think my mother thought this would help me with my penmanship, so I got a calligraphy set, which if you have bad penmanship, like the last thing you want to do is like practice writing. And the real shit of it was... It was like the last gift I opened up on Christmas morning, right? I'm done. Like all the exciting shit happens and I get a calligraphy set. You think you have that one last thing. Yeah, that did not get used.
How about you, Tim?
I was pretty fortunate. I do remember one year. It was the original Nintendo NES came out, and I got that. But my parents got me games for a different system. So
that's the worst.
I was so fucking excited to open this thing up and like
Paul Harry.
Yeah. It's like, it was like Super Jario or something like that. And I was like, what the fuck is this? I got so mad and cried. Meanwhile, I'd gotten like all new shoulder pads and pants and skates and a new bike. And like my parents spoiled the shit out of me. Yeah. And, but this is what I got fucking bent out of shape for. The coolest present I ever got. I got a Fetisov Russian jersey with his name written in Russian on the back and number two. That was pretty cool.
Okay, the coolest gift is for next week's program.
Coolest Christmas gift, because I had to think about that one. But
I actually don't know. I've been spoiled like you, Tim. Like Christmas in our family has always been big, and I pass that down too. That's just the way we roll.
Yeah, it's just my parents are the best, and like my mom did get me once a
Gretzky jersey, Oiler Gretzky jersey. That was pretty cool. You know, that was like
got a Joe DiMaggio baseball.
That's nice.
Ooh, yeah,
that's pretty.
I got a calligraphy set for my mom. Best gift I ever got. Taught me how to write.
Yeah,
I once got a Randy Wood Islanders jersey because I always put Randy Wood on the. I would make a Team USA on like NHL 94, and I put Randy Wood on the first line with like you know Roenick and Amani. So so he'd score like 50 goals every year. But Randy Wood is Miles Wood's dad, obviously. But Randy Wood's dad was the head hockey coach at Princeton when my dad went there. And my dad tried out for him, didn't make the team. But so it was a fun little full circle thing.
Hold on, I gotta tell a stupid story now that makes me look really stupid. This will be the proper close because you mentioned NHL 94, which was a great video game. It was also right around the time that I started watching hockey again. No secret, the 94 playoffs were my first exposure to hockey at all with Chris, and then in 95 they won. So I started off with a bang. But when the 94 game came out, we were playing it up. I went to school in Providence, and Chris, it was the other Derek that I live with, if you remember him. And during playing the game, whatever player I had, got 3 assists. And I was so new to hockey, I asked this other Derek, I said, "What's 3 assists?" He's like, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "Well, a hat trick is 3 goals. What's 3 assists?" He said, "Well, he's a playmaker." But I heard playmaker. So for like the next 2 years, I thought if you got 3 assists in a game, you got a playmaker. And here I am.
I was just going to say that.
Hockey podcast.
That's awesome.
I told you I never wanted to be a hockey podcaster.
Grown up, Bobby. All right, on that note, we're going to wrap this thing up. Thank you so much for checking us out and giving us a listen tonight. And we're ready to go tomorrow against the Seattle Kraken. Hopefully the Devils can keep this good vibes going. For Tim, Tony, and Bobby, I'm Chris. We are the Uncle Puckers. Oh, and by the way, download our shows, okay? Because if you are listening to them, please hit the download button because the Hockey Podcast Network gets mad when downloads are down. So, you know, help us out. And downloads.
Download it. Don't stream. Delete it in a couple weeks when
subscribe,
you're done.
Subscribe.
There you go.
And like and comment and all that fun stuff. And I'm really liking.
Yeah, go to the Uncle Puckers website.
Yeah, Tim writes recaps of every game. They are informative and extremely funny, so check those out. And
it's best place to get our shows, too, because that is an automatic download. So go ahead to the Uncle Puckers website.
Listen to them right there.
Listen to our shows
from
there.
Yeah, thank you guys so much, and we are the Uncle Puckers, and we'll see you when we see you.
Bye-bye.
Peace. Later.
It's over, Johnny. It's over!